Preaching to the highest wall of the targeted, but just like a bottomless vast ocean night, I can never exhaust. The finest flowers, the most supreme musical instruments, ointments, the finest lamps and precious incense are offered to all the conquerors. The finest vestments and the most excellent perfumes, mountain of the most exalted rituals, equal in size to snow, all arranged in the most special and elegant way, are offered to all those conquerors. Whatever offering objects exist which are peerless and vast, I offer to each and every conqueror by the powers of my faith in the deeds of Sumantra Bhadra. I make this obeisance and these offerings to each of the conquerors. Desire and lust, hatred and anger, ignorance and delusion, through the influence of these things I have committed deeds. I now confess each and every one of these sins that I have ever committed. The virtues of all conquerors in the 10 directions, sons of Buddhas, partake of Buddhas, those in the stages of learning and of no more learning, and the good actions of living beings I wholeheartedly rejoice. To those who are the lights of the world in the 10 directions, who have attained enlightenment gradually without attachment to Buddhahood, I entreat all of these protectors to turn the purest field of thought. To those who have come to the point of exhibiting their nirvana, I pray with my palms pressed together that they remain many eons as their islands for the benefit of all beings. Bowing down, making offerings, and reversing the virtues of others, entreating and praying, every small virtue I have produced from these practices, I dedicate it all to ultimate enlightenment.
Continue, Pargado. Landanzuki, Pargado. With you. And also, I'm very much enjoy to pray together with the Yanatumba. Perhaps you know Yanatumba.
The sevenfold service.
Now you see, as I always speak, the need of compassion or love. In Buddhism, particularly in Bodhisattva Yana, there are many, what you call profound secrets, profound techniques and way of, what call that, training way, way of training. About compassion, love. So to your own your own practice, you can, I think you can understand the what sort of Buddhist technique to increase our own these noble thoughts. So, you see, each person. I think practice these things and contribute something in the Buddhism. Sorry,
Buddhism.
In Buddhism, I appreciate your practice and your contribution in this field. So I'm very, very happy and grateful. Now, as a Buddhist, while we have practiced our own teaching, Buddhism, we must respect the other faiths, like Christian or Muslims and so on. We must realize, we must appreciate, we must, what do you call,
recognize
there is a contribution in the past many centuries in human society. So this time we must make common effort jointly to serve humankind. So this is very important. So therefore, some of you, I think, new Buddhist. So you must adopt a right attitude towards the other faith, like that. And then our own internal practice, regarding our own practice, when we start practice, you should not expect too much. See, in the past I met some young Westerner, who at the beginning very enthusiastic about to practice. After a few years, complete forget, no traces about the
What they had practiced at one time.
So now, see, according my own experience, though my own practice or my own experience is limited, still, according my own experience, the inner development, like, you see, understanding of shunyata, and altruism, buddhicitta, it's not an easy thing to develop. But at the same time, without loosening our effort in daily practice, even you could not practice these things in a remote place, in something, Komjimba.
As somebody who's just in meditation.
While you are remaining, or just like, I mean, like me, remain, or I mean, certain way of life to deal with this society, for Tibetan people. While you are doing these things, and some part of my time practice and these things, year by year, year goes, time goes, mind. Right.
We're able to change.
Thoughts and these things. So, if you look, compare yesterday's way of thinking and today's way of thinking, not much. You cannot see any differences. But if you make a comparison, today's your thinking and your behavior, and 10 years back, or 15 years, or 20 years back, then you can notice there is some change. If no matter, you see, how big, if there is some change, that is the value, that is the purpose, that is the benefit. So, without loosening effort, continuing, continuing practice can produce the gradual development. So this is one thing. important. Then another thing, I think the 타성급부 초점으로.
It's important to place equal emphasis for that, on hearing, thinking, and meditating.
Not to do sana, some gumdo. Not some do sana, tergumdo. Not gumdo sana, tersumdo. Not got him chosen Mazuma said. Not tell us it is any. Samia did that, Komiani would be better she use.
As Dongdun said, when I engage in hearing, I also make effort at thinking and meditating.
Not some do sana, tergumdo. Not some do sana.
And when I engage in thinking, in thinking or contemplation, I also search out more hearing and engage in meditation. And when I meditate, I don't give up hearing and don't give up thinking. He said, I am a balanced Kadamba, meaning that when he engaged in hearing, he didn't forsake thinking and meditating. When he engaged in thinking, he didn't give up hearing and meditating and so forth.
And then,
And when one engages in hearing, it is important to mix the mind, to familiarize the mind with that which is being heard. The study of religion is not like listening or learning about history. It's something that must be mixed and suffused in your own mental continuum. In a sutra, it says that the Dharma is like a mirror, and that one's own actions of body, speech, and mind are like one's face to be seen in the mirror, and that through the Dharma, one should recognize one's own faults and gradually get rid of them. As is said in the oral transmission, if there's enough space between yourself and the Dharma for someone else to walk through, then you're not practicing it properly. And then the Dharma becomes something like an object of entertainment. And if it is like something that's just an object of entertainment, it can even then turn into an object of argument. Then after you argue a good deal about it, you can even end up fist fighting.
That is not at all the purpose of religion, you see. So you see here, while we are learning Dharma, you must relate it with our own nature, our own behavior, this sort of thing. So again here, there is a story. Kadamada Kishiji, dual of a kolya in Kasuri. Chansangi ten, Papa Tinshok Maris, Tangu Zane, Kwang Kasuri, the
And this is a story of a Gautama Geshe who was reading in the discipline that it was not suitable to use an animal skin on one's seat. And he had the skin of a bear skin. He was sitting on a bear skin and he immediately pulled it out. Then as he read further on, he learned that it was permissible to use such if the weather was cold or if a person was sick. Carefully brought it back.
That is the real practice. He learning, now such certain things mentioned, he immediately implement. That is the way. Now, if I'm right from the beginning, learning religion in general, particularly in Buddhism, as a academy, as a knowledge, of course, that is something different. Right from the beginning, his own motivation is just a learning, as a education, as a another knowledge. Then all right. But like we, who are supposed Buddhist, supposed to practice, in that case, while we are learning, we must try to implement. Then we can experience the real value. And that is the real sakasota.
That is the real thing. It helps others and it helps oneself too. Who is the leader here?
I'm wondering what subject I'm suitable or better to talk.
So it'd be good for us to repeat these eight verses of training the mind like a prayer.
You see, now
not just from the beginning through to the end, but but we should read each stanza separately and then pause to think about its meaning. And if I have something to say, I'll say it. So first of all, with each stanza, I'll give a short explanation.
From the
viewpoint of the Buddhist mode of procedure or attitude, it is through valid cognition that one decides whether something is true or not. There are many different types of validly cognizing consciousnesses, but in any case, all of them derive from basic innate direct. They derive from basic, innate, direct perception. Even inference is derived from direct perception. And that which it needs back to is the fact that all of us innately have a sense of I, which indeed if we go on to try to identify it, we get into a lot of difficulties, but each of us has a sense of I and a wanting of happiness and a not wanting of suffering. And in dependence on this, we, with regard to the happiness that we want, there are many different types and stages.
Progress. All these big schemes, five years plans or 10 years plans, something like that. Mm-hmm. All these things,
all the schemes for worldly practice and so forth arise in dependence upon this wish for happiness.
Then there are
higher types of happiness which are beyond those of the worldly type when one seeks something that just doesn't, just isn't confined to this lifetime, to the temporary. Now, this body won't last, or can't serve as a source. Can't last longer than 100 years. It's not something that can go on to a future lifetime. And thus that establishes a limit with respect to those things that depend on this body. Thus, with the physical limit put this way, those things that are of deeper and longer and of long-term value are achieved through thought. Then it is the case that these long-term matters must be achieved in dependence on thought, and they are indeed helpful not only just for the long-term, but then help in this lifetime too. Therefore, training one's thought is very important. Then in terms of the particular Buddhist ways of training one's thought, the practices of Buddhism, as I've said recently, can be included within two sentences, that if one is able, one should help others. If one is not able, one should at least not harm others. Thus, when one practices, one first should gain control over the harming of others.
Da shanda la chawa michi yagi kasore rimba thangu tele ya da shanda chawa yongdeng shanda nesi yongegi luda ngagi niju di dombare.
In this first stage of learning how to not harm others, there are vows and or restraints with respect to verbal and physical actions.
Tadalin landeg namsha la yi landeg namsha kaso landeg namsha shebe ting ni ani lalin ma ti migi jubun gi chudin la ya ti she.
The basic part of this practice is the practice of the abandonment of the 10 non-virtues, this being done within the context of understanding the presentation of actions and their effects.
Then,
this is on a temporary level. Now, for the very bases of these to become more stable, it's necessary, what do you say? With respect to the bases of these becoming more stable, these actions of body and speech don't just arise by themselves, they arise in dependence upon mental motivation. And it is because the mind comes under the influence of faulty states of mind that these faulty actions are produced. Thus, in order to control bad physical or physical and verbal actions, it's necessary to get at the root of those actions, that is to say, the mind, and control it. This is how the non-harming of others. These are the types of practices that have as their basis the non-harming of others. The practices of the Theravadins or of Hinayana are included within this category. Then the second stage is that when these factors have come somewhat under one's control and one has the capacity to help others, one then helps others. The root of bringing help to others, help and happiness to others, is an altruistic attitude. For a person who is engaging in this altruistic mind generation, that person even right away has some mental peace. In terms of its cause, this altruistic mind generation is induced by great compassion. Great compassion is an attitude of not forsaking or neglecting any sentient being and being moved by their suffering. And wishing to free beings from suffering. What is the fruit of this altruistic mind generation, right after altruistic mind generation, one engages in the practice of the six perfections, in dependence on which the fruit of Buddhahood is achieved. Therefore, if one generates this altruistic attitude, it helps oneself and others both temporarily and in the long run. It helps oneself in temporarily and in the long run.
Yes.
Because this mind solely has an aspect of having compassion and a sense of kindness toward others, it induces one to what?
Act.
To help and act compassionately for others. As the Lama Kunlapche said, if you want to be a friend of all people, generate the altruistic mind of enlightenment. If you want to be a spiritual guide for all people, generate the altruistic mind of enlightenment. If one wants to help everyone, if you want to help everyone, generate the altruistic mind of enlightenment. Thus, if one generates the altruistic mind of enlightenment immediately or right away, there is this sense of comfort. And it is through the generation of the altruistic mind of enlightenment that one is also helped from the depths.
The final solution of the Karchumbrislana, check to Pamber, Chanjo Semis, that Dima, Delian, Dingy, that's the solution to Chumbrisha. There are tomorrow, Zabun, Zaba, Yi, Tuan, and Gimini Pamber Six.
After examining
for many years. Therefore, as Shantideva said in his engaging in the Bodhisattva deeds, the Buddhas, after examining for many aeons, found as the final solution
to think what is the best method to achieve happiness, permanent happiness.
After the Buddhas examined for many aeons for the final solution for the bringing of human happiness, bringing of happiness of all sentient beings, they found as the one solution this generation of the altruistic mind of enlightenment.
So therefore, you see, this bodhicitta is some of the most important, some of the most precious, some of the most powerful, one of the most jewel, most sacred thing. So now this practice is something very, very useful, not only thinking in true sense of religion, but in worldly life also, that sort of motivation is very effective, very beneficial. So therefore, now, you see, we
therefore, the practice of this altruistic mind generation is very meaningful, is really very meaningful.
In order to cultivate this altruistic mind of enlightenment, as most of you know, there are two modes of practice, one by way of equalizing and switching self and other, and the second by way of the sevenfold precepts of cause and effect. If you have considerable belief in rebirth, then it will be very helpful to practice the sevenfold precepts. However, if rebirth doesn't appear to your mind so easily, then it probably would be easier for you to practice the equalizing and switching of self and other. This is a practice in which one contemplates the fact that oneself and others are equal with respect to wanting happiness and not wanting suffering, are equal with respect to having the right to achieve happiness and get rid of suffering, and that oneself is only one, whereas others are infinite in number, and thus others are far more important than oneself. And in this way, one trains in an attitude in which others are cherished more than oneself. And once there are these many techniques, it's probably helpful every month or so.
You see, sometimes something like, you see, I mean, something like a knife. If you use always, I mean, one knife, then naturally, you see, that sometimes become
There are these many methods, and if you just use one of them, it may become like a knife that loses its sharpness, and therefore it would be good to switch to another technique and see if it's more helpful. To switch around amongst the various techniques. For somebody who is cultivating,
somebody who is
training in this altruistic mind generation, should mix this thoroughly, suffuse it thoroughly with his or her own mind, and then also use words or writings as means of reminding oneself of the practice. And such words are these written by the Gautama Geshe Lama Tama. The first stanza indicates that never mind neglecting other sentient beings, one rather will take them as a treasure through which the temporary and final aims can be achieved.
That verse, Tangutre.
And that's the first stanza, the meaning of the first stanza.
Yeah, Tanga Zunyam Dolma Law, and Shute, Sayan Kashesh Dor Samta.
So then let's read it together and then pause for some seconds and think on it. Nation to accomplish the highest welfare for all sentient beings who surpass even a wish-granting gem, may I learn to hold them dear. The second stanza indicates that pride, what do you say, with respect to the second stanza, pride interferes with the development of an altruistic attitude. Therefore, it is important not to generate pride, to control pride. With respect to that, since the mind is like something floating around on the top of water, if one considers oneself to be superior to others, one easily generates pride. Therefore, here one intentionally engages in the practice of considering oneself to be lower than others, thereby automatically decreasing the opportunity for pride.
Now, for example, you see, if you think, here small fly, if you are, suppose here one fly, if I think I'm a human being, I'm a monk, from that viewpoint, naturally, I'm much higher, I'm much more important than the fly. But if I think the another way, now, of course, this fly is something very weak, timu.
Very obscured.
Timu, nyamju.
Very weak, what is it, low.
That digi, any kasuri. Mutun mong bai mutun mong ni dai dai ba jik dang ge che ma xin ba de le ya ben che de tun ba xin ma xia ba de che ma xin ba le ya surprise ya qian ya ma de.
And there's no surprise that a being like this who's continually overcome by obscuration should not be engaged in religious practice.
Now I myself as a human being, all these human potential or human, what do you call, the sophisticated mind, all these facilities I have, yet this fly may not thinking very cunning, this sort of, you see, all kasure. Bad thinking or bad work with something sophisticated kasure, method. I, suppose a practitioner, suppose a monk, suppose a human being, suppose think all these, buddhi-citta, this sort of thing. Yet, I'm using all this facility in wrong way. From that viewpoint, I'm worse than the fly. Clear? This sort of, you see, thinking automatically help. Oh, really? I'm really shameful, this sort of. That thing I'm saying is,
when one practices the generation of this altruistic attitude, it is important not to let the afflictive emotions be generated.
Mm.
Because we are habituated to the afflictions, even as we see them, even as we identify them, are we controlled by them? As afflictions begin to be generated in our minds, we often think, oh, it's probably okay, probably okay, and within that they become stronger and stronger. Therefore, we have a Tibetan saying not to make friends with "it's probably okay."
So today you do, nyomoke you do, that always remember some of the mashabashin, tell them something about them.
Therefore, as an afflictive emotion begins to be generated, one should not think it's probably okay, but immediately oppose it. With respect to applying the antidotes to afflictive emotions, the basic way of getting rid of those afflictive emotions is through the wisdom realizing selflessness. However, there are temporary ways also, such as opposing or, you know, opposing hatred with love. Contemplating impermanence as an antidote to desire. If one is incapable of engaging in these antidotes, then it's best to cause oneself to forget these afflictive emotions. To go out for a walk or to contemplate the inhalation and exhalation of your breath. In all actions, may I search into my mind, and as soon as an afflictive emotion arises, endangering myself and others, may I firmly face and avert it. When one meets with people of bad nature who are either pressed by a bad sickness such as leprosy, or they have bad behavior or somehow awful, one feels to separate oneself from them. One should not do that, but become even closer with them.
This one. Kasa.
Since such a person is someone with, in relation to whom one can cultivate the altruistic mind of enlightenment, can cultivate patience, can cultivate the voluntary assumption of suffering, then this person is to be viewed as like finding a precious treasure.
Belgium and the Catholic Mangachor. Kerasmus. French, Belgium, I think.
leprosy colony jitundal pet korish go shidung
there was a Belgian or French monk who took care of lepers who eventually died in the leper camp.
So like something like that. This is that we are. Shuh. Diche. Tadene. Tadulain da.
When I see beings of bad nature pressed by violent sins and suffering, may I cherish them as if I had found a precious treasure difficult to find. The next stanza indicates that when others treat one with violence or abuse, one should respond with even greater kindness. When others, out of jealousy, treat me badly with abuse, slander, and so on, may I suffer the defeat and offer the victory to others.
Now here you see, sometimes we may react according to circumstances, on the surface level. But you see, at that time, you see, at that time, we should not lose internally the kindness and respect for him. But outwardly, right? On the surface level, sometimes we may need strong reaction according to circumstances. Clear? Di chana iya kasure theory thane mangyara laling thane ta mangyara.
In this way, the theory is not contradicted, and the implementation of it is not contradicted.
In fact, theoretically, if someone take, let him take advantage on other unreasonably, then that act is something wrong. So we must oppose that act with love, with compassion, with respect. So you see, that itself is something that teaching what happened. Parupu nyeju tamyaage react shiva sojirwa.
This is a reaction for the sake of restraining another person's own bad deeds.
Bana changju sembe nyeja naliya kenda tamba tar mijus.
For instance, within the faults what? That bodhisattvas keep from, there is
nyeja shishudu.
Among the 46 faults that bodhisattvas keep from, faulty activity, is the non-use of violence to stop someone when it is appropriate.
In
terms of the general ways of society, when one has helped someone a great deal, if that person doesn't respond with kindness and so forth, but instead abuses oneself, it's wrong, and it would be suitable to oppose that person. However, for one who is practicing altruism, it's just the opposite. When one whom I have benefited with great hope unreasonably hurts me very badly, may I view him as my Supreme Lama.
And
the next stanza indicates one's or intention not to mix this practice with the eight worldly principles. And then there is a practice of giving away one's own happiness and taking others' suffering from them, which is done mentally for the sake of developing greater determination. In short, may I directly and indirectly offer all help and happiness to all without exception. May I respectfully take upon myself all harm and suffering of the mothers. And the last sentence refers to the practice of wisdom, realization of emptiness, whereby one is able to view phenomena as like illusions. There isn't time to go into this. May all these practices remain undefiled by the stains of conceptions of the eight worldly principles. May I, by perceiving all phenomena as elusive, be released from the bondage of attachment.
Finished. I'm very glad to be amongst with you. Thank you very much. Thank you.